So today we continue our series, Lifeboat Academy, and this is the last installment. So we looked at go, we looked at love. Last week was our sing, but no one was here. Neither was I, because of the weather. But you can listen to last year's or the year before that. There's always one of these canceled every year. So I'm thinking, like, after 4 years, we should be able to get all of them in because of weather. But so sing, we didn't get to go over, which was talking about the how we do our go into all the world, telling of the good news, how we love the Lord our God, and love neighbors as ourselves. Sing was the how he creates, or how he created you in his divine image, his image of Elohim, which means the God of creative works. And so there's creativity in all of us, and how we express God's love is unique to how he wired us. So this week, we are looking at our vision. And the vision for Lifeboat is all wrapped up in its name. Its name. Romeo once said, "What is in a name? Does a rose still smell sweet if called by any name?" But here's what I believe. I believe that we are called Lifeboat for a specific reason. And that's because, as our vision statement says, lifeboats are there in crisis. Lifeboats are where the rescued pull others to safety. So this is who we are, and this is what I see us being in this community. So our mission is to go, love, sing. And so we've explored the who, the what, the where, and the how. So this is now, and we've talked about how we are to be people of action and how we are to take the skills that God has blessed us with and use them for his kingdom and his desires. And so now, as our vision statement points out, we are all called to be lifeboats. So let's grab an oar and start rowing. So Christ has a common thread throughout his ministry, and we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus said. So if you want to follow along, you can do so. There's Bibles there. We do have the text on the screen this morning. Or you can go on the YouVersion Bible app or our app and follow along with the event and share exclusive content online there. All right, here's some of the things that Jesus said. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Next he said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner." Jesus also said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." This is what Jesus has come to do. He's come to serve. He's come not for those people who think they have it all together. He's come for the people who don't and know they don't. He's come for people like you and for me and like me. He's come for us. And now he has called us to do the same. He said, "I've called you to be fishers of men." So, Jesus, he comes in gentleness and humility, and he gives rest to our souls. And he serves, not ruling over us like a dictator. So, Jesus is the example that we are to be. So, Jesus calls us to be his disciples and to follow his example. So, he calls us to follow him to do the same, to live out his example. So that's why we're not in this alone. When Jesus is giving the Great Commission, when he says, "Go, tell my good news," he's not speaking to just Peter, one of his disciples, or just John, or just James, not the sailboat that they're riding in. Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. Anyone know that one? Okay. No, he's talking to a group of people. When he calls us to this, he's calling all of us to work together to do this thing for him. So we are to act as a discipleship. I love that.
we are to be a ship of disciples, people who are learning about who Jesus is and then following his example together. And so one way we do this is, are you ready for my confusing graph? All right? My flow chart. All right? All right? The arrows are color-coded so you can follow this, all right? Right? We love everyone to come. You do alpha. You learn what it's all about. Get involved in anchor groups. Come to faith steps. We love, whether you think you're a leader or not, to take the journey into our leadership development. But being involved in the life of the church in our anchor groups as we learn from each other, we challenge each other, we grow in what's been taught. And take on new steps and new roles and grow and become leaders in the church. And maybe one day you can sit up here with a torn Achilles tendon too. Right? You can sit up here and teach. We want to be disciples of Jesus and have him move us toward his will. And we do this. This is how we do it. This isn't biblical, right? But this is how we want to usher people through so they can learn who Jesus is as we learn from each other. So we are a discipleship. We want to send out disciples to show grace and love and help each other to accomplish this. You know, you can't help each other to accomplish something if you don't know the person, right? If you don't know how to help them. You know, we need to lend each other our strengths. Whether you know this or not, you are not good at everything. Did you know that? There are some things you are not good at. Me, checking batteries in a microphone before I use it. That's something I'm not good at. Right? And so we help each other out. We need to give of ourselves. Our strengths need to glean off each other. Because we are to be like a body. And I've become more aware of this more recently. My arm cannot do what my leg does. Right? I can't use my head in place of my leg. Do you know how hard it is to get in and out of bathrooms? Like at restaurants? Because they put those wheelchair doors at the front door, but nothing for the bathroom. There's puddles by every restaurant in the city now, outside the door. The Apostle Paul said that we are to be like the body of Christ. He says, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We are all a part of the body of Christ, and we all have a role to play. The question is, are we standing back, waiting for someone to ask us to be the liver? When God has made us a liver, we need to get into the body and work as a liver. I hope that analogy wasn't lost on you. But God has made you uniquely with gifts and abilities. And some are hands, and some are stomachs, and some are legs. I don't know. Some are eyes. We all have gifts and abilities, and we need to use them to help each other. And so a question we need to always ask ourselves is the body suffering? Is there a place where there's a body part not working, but it's not working because we're the body part? And we're waiting to step into that role. So here at Lifeboat, our vision, the fact that we are lifeboats going out, pulling others to rescue, this informs us in our mission to go into all the world, to love God and love others, and to sing, meaning sing to him a new song, sing to God, not just sing, but do the creative things in our life that show his love. Lifeboats are hope for those who are sinking in hopelessness, emptiness, despair, and that's why we go love sing. We're not people who are pulling people into misery. We are pulling them into hope and abounding love. But here's what happens all the time in our minds. when we don't offer ourselves. We say, yeah, well, you know, they probably don't want to be helped. Or they'll just say no. But whenever we say no for people, whenever we don't ask them if we can help them, or if we say no and we never invite them to church or to Alpha or wherever, to our anchor groups, we end up saying no for them. You know, rule 101 in business. I've been watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and there's this guy Quark on there, and he has these rules, these Ferengi rules for doing business. It's like rule 132. This is like that. Rule of business. Never say no for people. And it's the same thing in this. If you say no for people, you're saying you're not giving them the chance to say yes or no. You're choosing. When we don't give them the offer, if we don't ask them if they, one, hey, do you want to come to Alpha? We say no for them. If we never say to them, hey, you want to come to church with me? Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? We say no for them. Because the reality is we don't know what other people think. We don't know what they will say until they say it. We need to give them to make the decision for themselves. So we need to not make that decision for them. When we choose not to be a lifeboat, or when we don't take the opportunity to invite them, we say no for them. If we go to the next slide. I think sometimes we can have a mentality where we say no. I think sometimes when we say no for people, we end up perpetuating the idea that church is for them. Church is for other people. Oh, it's not for someone like me. I hear that all the time from people. Well, you know, church isn't for people like me. If you think church isn't for people like you, that means it is for you. If you think church is for you, it's probably not for you. sorry, break it to you. You know, we don't want to perpetuate the idea that, oh, you have to get your life right before you come into the church. I remember when I was a kid, there was this band called Rhythm and News. Anyone ever hear them? Okay, people are getting nervous because I'm tipping back my chair. I won't do that. Everyone hear Rhythm and News? Come on, some of you grew up in the 90s in church. All right. They had this song that said, the lady at the door asked me what I was there for. I said, to praise the Lord and let my spirit soar. She kind of looked me over and said, gee whiz, you ought to change your style if you want to hear. Right? Like, we think that we got to change before we come. Or some people think we need to change. But when we say no for people, we perpetuate the idea that they have to get something in their life right before they come to Jesus. But that's not who Jesus was. Jesus is the God who takes the first step. He's the God who comes to us. He comes to us. We love because he first loved us. That's what the whole incarnation, meaning Jesus, God himself coming to earth, that's what it's all about. It's about God takes the first step and comes to us. And now he calls us to do the same, to take that first step to come to us. Not to wait for people to get right, but invite them in and let the Holy Spirit change them. You know, when our boat stays ashore, it's easy for us to forget our purpose in life. You know, a hospital. What happens if a hospital is only focused on the healthy people? People die. Sorry, can't help you. You're too sick. Go home. We only treat healthy people at this hospital. Could you imagine that? It's like, what's the point of the hospital? But Jesus, in that passage we read earlier, how he hasn't come for the healthy, but the sick. The church is for people who are sick. And guess what? You're all sick. And I'm sick too. We have broken this in our life. You have broken this. I have broken this. But God calls us and loves us, and he works to restore us and change us and mold us into who we are supposed to be. When a church becomes self-focused, it dies. Why? Because it's no longer fulfilling its purpose. Church is in the boat. Hey, let's come Sunday and let's sing all the songs I like. Let's sit in the comfortable seats I like. Let's, you know, meet the people I like who smell good and have the same social demographic as me, and they're so nice to me. Sometimes God calls us, and not sometimes, all the time. God calls us out of our comfort zone. God calls us to interact with people who are sick just like us. Jesus said, I've come for the sinner, not the righteous. He's come for sinners, people who miss the mark. That's what the word sin means. Romans 5:8 says, while you were still sinners, Christ came for us. Not while you were right, not while you were perfect, not while you had all your stuff together. God came to us while we were still totally opposed to who he is. He has come and given us grace. And so now that we have received his grace, we are called to be ambassadors of that same grace, dispensers of grace. We're supposed to be like little Pez dispensers, and little grace things come out of our necks. Grace for you, grace for you, grace for you, right? Like, this is what he calls us to be dispensers of grace. Think of yourself as a Pez dispenser, right? Isn't that great? Like little tablets of grace coming out to everyone in your life. And it's harder to do than it is to say. But it's what he calls us to do. It's what we are to strive toward. Everything we do here, all our songs, the sermons, the anchor groups, they are all a part of this idea of equipping us, making us disciples, in order that we can be discipleships. You know, and though they are part of it, what we do here, it is not the whole thing. You know, disciples, it's about following the teachings of Jesus. It's about finding ourselves in community. Community with each other. That's important. Because do you know what? Whether you know this or not, you're an addict. You're an addict to selfishness. You're an addict to indulgence. And we all do it different ways. But we need community, right? Just like any addiction counseling group, what do you got to do? You come, you get accountability. You sit in a room together. You talk about where you failed. You have someone who's a support to you, who challenges you. We need this in our lives. That's what really anchor groups are building towards. We need relationship with God in order to serve him. We need to serve others. We need to live lives of joy and understand joy is not an emotion. It's not being happy. Joy is something inside that despite our externals, despite our feelings, we hold on to joy because we know we have hope. And we need to trust in his peace. He has called us to be lifeboats. We have a message of grace, hope, peace, and love. But too often, myself included, you know, we can stand back. We stand back and we say things that maybe we shouldn't, right? Say things, we represent Jesus wrongly. Do things we shouldn't. Sometimes we don't take the initiative that we should. Sometimes we can write people off. We say, well, they probably don't want to hear. But we need to look at people's lives the way God looks at our lives and other people's lives and see what is possible. Seth Godin writes, "The diamond cutter doesn't imagine the diamond that he wants. Instead, he sees the diamond that is possible. You know, we can look at the church, this church or any other church, and we can see problems. We can see problems here or there. You know, my pastor, he doesn't change the batteries in his microphone. And he's a little temperamental. And he's a little anal when it comes to putting things away and setting things up. There's lots of problems. You want to find some? Good. I got them. So do you. Every church has problems. You're not going to find the perfect one. But we have a choice. Do we look at the diamond that we want, or do we look at the diamond that is possible? God doesn't call us to just be, hey, I want to be a hand. Let's go and be a church with a whole bunch of other hands. We're all handsy. I don't know. What are a church of hands, right? No, we join the body, the things that are not like us, so that we can work together. Our lives are never going to be perfect. That's okay. God loves us anyway. He calls us to love each other anyway. We're not going to be perfect. But here's the thing. Sometimes God wants to use us, but we can look at our own lives and say, well, I'm never going to be perfect. Or we can look at our neighbors, whoever, our friend, our family, and say, well, you know, they'll never need my help. Or they'd never want to see Jesus. Or they won't ever listen to what I have to say. They're too busy to find Jesus. Or we can look at the diamond that's possible. Look at the diamond that's possible. I'm sure when Jesus in John chapter 4 or 8, I don't know. It's in the book of John, which is right after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I got that much down. Chapter 4 or 8. Jesus is meeting with the Samaritan woman. I'm sure he didn't look at the Samaritan woman and say, you know, this Samaritan, who a lot of people don't like, who's already had 5 husbands, she's probably the perfect candidate to really spread about, you know, she has lots of influence. No, he didn't look at her and say, wow, your life is all together. He said, you are broken. Let me show you the diamond that's possible in your life. Doesn't matter how much brokenness is in your life, God can still use you. God still uses me, and man, I even have a broken leg. Part of the idea of the way we view church, even though we don't know this, is the word that we use, church. Did you know that the word church is not in the Bible? Did you know that? Nowhere. It's actually a German word. And it means location. Lifeboat is not a location. Lifeboat is about us moving. It's about movement. The word that the scriptures use is the words ecclesia. So that's Greek, ecclesia. And it means a purposeful gathering. This morning here at Lifeboat, this is a purposeful gathering. We are a community. We come together. We learn. We fellowship with each other. We sing songs and worship God together. There's something about corporately joining together. We learn to equip ourselves to go. And then we go and we love and we sing. And then we bring others with us the next week. This is a purposeful gathering. As Andy Stanley says, you can lock the doors to a Kirche, that's the German word for church, but not so with the ecclesia of Jesus. When we are living out our mission, we are living out a purposeful gathering. So we need to catch this vision, this idea that we are lifeboats going out. As Proverbs 29:18 states, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the vision of Lifeboat is that you, me, us, together go in every way possible and be fishers of men. that we would have a model like the U.S. Postal Service. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor glow of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Basically, come hell or high water, we will go and be disciples of Jesus. Because when the water gets high, what do you need more than anything? A lifeboat. Just throwing that out there. So how do we do this? How do we be lifeboats? We do this with our mission. We go. We talked about that the first week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. We do with love, a love of God first. Because as we love God, the natural overflow is that we begin to love others. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we sing to him a new song. This is the how, expressing who he is. Mission and vision are intertwined. Who we are at Lifeboats only happens once we live out our mission. It only happens if we live out the mission. As Neil Peart, the drummer of Rush, once said, a spirit with a vision is a dream with a mission. So the question is, can you catch this vision? And if we can, I believe we're unstoppable. We do this in unique ways. We do this because he has called us to do this. And he has equipped us to do this. As Annie Stanley says, vision exposes what has yet to be accomplished. So the question is, why do we need lifeboats? Because we haven't accomplished the mission. People still need to hear about Jesus. People still need to hear about his love. So we need to guard the vision. We need to guard it. In the midst of our wanting for comfort, or the midst of wanting it to be like this or that or the other thing, God has called us here to this community for such a time as this to do what he has called us to in this moment. And so we guard it and we hold on to it. Because when we begin to think that lifeboat is ours, what we want, we risk losing what we are all about. As Ralph Moore says, asking God what we want, what he wants for the community, we'll get our eyes off ourselves and on the people who need to hear the gospel and to be touched by the ministry you will start. So two greatest commandments. Love God, love others. And we can say, well, yeah, that's great. You know, I would love to go, but have you seen my boat? Have you seen my boat? Speaking of our lives. You know, the paint is chipped. I have holes in it. The oars have seen better days. You know, we can think that our past or our indiscretions discount us or make us our contribution less. But have you ever heard of plasma waste converters? I'm in love with these things. So here they are, and you take your trash, all this junk that you eat and throw in the garbage, and you dump it in this plasma waste converter, and it takes plasma and it, like, whatever it does, melts it, I don't know, burns it, whatever plasma does. I'm not a science guy. I'm just like meaningless facts. So they take our waste and they, like, extreme heat, they burn it down. And when they do this, they get rid of all your garbage. And they're able to take the it takes makes it into this like smudge stuff that they can use to like gas. They can turn it into gas, and they can turn it into slag, and they can take glass out of it, and they can sell it. And you see this waste, this stuff that is thrown away, the stuff that can be really used for nothing. Like, it's not even good enough to put your leftovers in and put it in the fridge, right? Like, this stuff is worthless. And it comes and it burns it up. What happens to it? It becomes usable again. It becomes glass. They use it for fertilizer. They use all this stuff. They extract stone from it. Many of the things that we produce by mining, we can do simply by burning our own garbage. And it creates this sustainable energy, this usable material. Well, Jesus' grace is like a plasma waste converter. He comes, as the writer of Hebrews says, God is an all-consuming fire. He's an all-consuming fire, and he comes and he burns us up. As John in the book of Revelation adds, and he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. He comes and he turns our mess to a masterpiece. He takes the baggage we carry around and he uses it for good. Paul said in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Well, guess what? God has called you according to his purpose. And as we begin to surrender our lives to him, as we allow this all-consuming fire to burn up all the crap in our lives, he begins to use it and use it for purpose. Nothing in your life is a waste. Every mess can become a message of grace, hope, and love. We may not know how, but God does. People need to hear your story. They need your help. They need someone along to come alongside of them and say, I can help you. And I believe that as we do this, this is how we see our boat restored. It's not a, oh, well, que sera, sera. It's not, you know, what we can't do. This is about doing what we can do. And I think so many times we look at our weaknesses and our limitations, we look at what we can't do, instead of looking at the solutions and seeing what we can do. I may not be able to do it all, but what can I do? And who can I talk to and ask for help? Maybe we can help someone else row their boat. If we feel our boat has too many holes, maybe we can hop in. So, hey, how can I help you row yours? I love what Helen Keller said. Worse than being blind would be to be able to see, but not have any vision. My worst nightmare is that we'd forget. We forget who we are. We forget about the grace and freedom that needs to be given to others. And this grace and freedom we need for ourselves. So the question we ask ourselves today as we end this series, Lifeboat Academy, are you stepping into the vision? Are you taking a step? And that's really all we ask. Sometimes, sometimes you can come into a place and be like, man, I'm ready to jump in and do everything. That's not realistic for most of us. But what's the one step you can take? What's the one thing you can do? And that's all God asks of us. Come a little bit closer. And then when we're ready, come a little bit closer. And he draws us in. So let's be a church that chooses vision over blindness. Let's choose to go instead of being content in our walls. Let's choose to love instead of choosing selfishness. And let's choose to sing instead of a simple existence of less than. So I encourage you to read this, these next passages with me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All right, now with a little more gusto. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sing to the Lord a new song. Finally, lifeboats are there in crisis. Lifeboats are where the rescued pull others to safety. Let's pray. Lord, help us never to forget what you've called us to in this community. That we are lifeboats, that we are called to go, to love, to sing. That you've called us to be people of love. We thank you. In your holy name, amen.